They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org. And by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Jobs are disappearing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Shortly, we'll get the jobs report for April. Looks like payrolls got smaller again for the fourth straight month. Economists expect the unemployment rate went up another tick to 5.2%. Just this week, GE, Black & Decker, and Johnson & Johnson announced layoffs. Otherwise, some positive signs about the U.S. economy. The dollar is gaining once again this morning. Oil prices are down to $113 a barrel. The Dow is back above 13,000. And the overseas markets are at their highest level since January. In Asia today, the markets added 2% by the close. European shares are up 1% so far. Yesterday on Wall Street, around 2% gains. The Dow was up 187 points to close at 13,010. The NASDAQ added 67, and the S&P 500 climbed 23. An economic think tank in Britain has found a new culprit for the credit crunch: U.S. bankruptcy laws. Stephen Beard reports from London.
The Institute for Economic and Social Research says America's bankruptcy laws are way too lax. The penalties for going bust are too lenient. The Institute says that in a bid to promote enterprise by removing the stigma of failure, the U.S. made it too easy for borrowers to walk away from their debts. That's led to both reckless borrowing and high rates of default. The Institute is critical of the non-recourse mortgage available in some states. This is where the borrower can wipe out their mortgage debt just by handing the property back to the bank. Institute Director Martin Wheel says the global economy is suffering as a result.
If the United States had bankruptcy laws more like other advanced countries, then the credit crunch probably would have been less acute and had fewer international implications.
He's calling for an international agreement to make bankruptcy more painful, especially in the U.S. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
With gas at $4 a gallon, smaller is better. In April, one out of every five cars sold in the U.S. was a compact or subcompact. That may be a first for the industry. A decade ago, only one in eight cars sold was small. Keeping with the tiny theme, AT&T launches a new service this weekend so you can watch TV on your cell phone. Stacey Vanek-Smith tells us what to look for.
There's an awful lot going on in the world right now. I'm not going to lie to you. It's mostly bad things.
Comedy Central is one of nearly a dozen channels that will be offered on AT&T mobile TV. Porter Bibb with Media Tech Capital Partners says small screen programming has a huge future.
There's no question mobile TV is going to hit very big, particularly with the iPhone because of the good definition on the screen.
Small business owner Tim Brown makes time-lapse recording software. He's in the market for a new cell phone and says video capabilities will be a huge selling point.
I can imagine watching video podcasts and saving a video of my kid, or I make lots of short 30-second cool videos, which would look really good on there because then you can just show it to people.
Networks are getting excited about the possibilities, too. They've been developing mobisodes, 3 to 5 minute shows especially designed for mobile viewing. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Friday, May 2nd on Marketplace.org. Today, the Federal Reserve will put aside its worries about inflation and focus on your credit card. The Fed's expected to endorse a crackdown on banks who get sneaky with credit card fees and interest rates. More now from John Dimsdale.
Consumer advocates say credit card companies aren't playing fair.
They use gotchas and trap doors to boost the fees and the interest rates that they charge people.
Travis Plunkett with the Consumer Federation of America says he's glad to see regulators consider limiting interest rate increases on money already borrowed at a lower rate.
Banks will not be able to increase your interest rate on existing balances for a supposed problem with another creditor, such as paying a parking ticket late or paying a library fine late.
But the American Bankers Association's Nessa Fettis says the new regulations, which have only been proposed in outline form, could make credit cards more expensive.
The proposal limits the ability to price based on risk. If the riskier borrowers are paying less, it means that the safer borrowers have to make up for that, and so they'll probably pay more.
Congress is considering even tougher limits on credit card rates, fees, and marketing practices. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
The housing meltdown apparently knows no boundaries. Even the Hamptons on Long Island is feeling the pinch. Home sales dropped about 40% during the first quarter of the year. But summer rentals are looking strong. Of course, a lot of those renters are coming from overseas. Ashley Milne-Tai has more.
A summer spent near the Hamptons' endless white beaches doesn't come cheap. Franz Muster runs the Hamptons office of real estate firm Engel & Völkers.
I would say if you want to rent something decent in a good location, it starts from $80,000 to $150,000 to sometimes $200,000 a month.
But this year, the exchange rate has made renting cheaper for many foreigners. Judy Desiderio of Town and Country Real Estate suspected the Wall Street crowd might be economizing this year, so she advertised abroad and quadrupled her foreign business. She says her international clients' expectations are just as high as Manhattanites.
They wanted 5,000 square feet, 4 or 5 bedrooms with a pool and a garage. Some actually came over with the demand that they needed staff in place at the house.
And who wanted a cook and a housekeeper? Who else but the Brits? In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
There's a new report out today that might make you wince. It says government-funded health care and unpaid hospital bills cost taxpayers $45 billion a year. And that number will get a lot higher. The report from the Commonwealth Fund says even big companies are starting to drop health insurance for workers. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
The report found that 11 million uninsured workers and their families were enrolled in government programs like Medicaid in 2004. That's a 70% increase from 1999. Other uninsured workers make too much to qualify for government programs. They usually can't afford preventive care.
Oh, I haven't been to the doctor for a physical since 92.
Massage therapist Carol Springer went without insurance for about a dozen years. As a small business owner, she couldn't afford it. And Sarah Collins of the Commonwealth Fund says even people on a company payroll are swelling the ranks of the uninsured.
That number will grow this year because of the declining economy, because of the pressures that employers are feeling with respect to their health care costs.
Companies with more than 100 employees are also feeling that pressure. The report says the number of uninsured workers at those companies has increased by about a third. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Tomorrow is the 134th running of the Kentucky Derby.
Street Sense draws alongside, and Street Sense has roared from 19th position to win the Derby by 2.
Bettors will throw down more than $100 million on the race. But picking this year's winner is even harder than usual. Churchill Downs has a dirt track, but many of the races leading up to the Derby were run on synthetic surfaces, which are all different. We're joined by Jenny Reese. She covers horse racing for the Louisville Courier-Journal. Jenny, why have so many tracks gone synthetic?
The major motivation is to reduce injuries in racehorses. And the early returns were quite promising. And if you can reduce injuries, if you can reduce the money that owners are spending on veterinary bills, You will have larger fields, more horses running in races, and you'll get more owners in the game because they won't be busted by injuries to horses and veterinary bills.
Here in California, the state actually mandated that the racetracks be synthetic. Why hasn't Churchill changed?
Well, because you're talking about 134 years of tradition, and you don't lightly change something as dramatic as the racing surface. These tracks are very expensive. I mean, you're talking probably at least $10 million for a lot of them to put in. And some people say there's still the same number of injuries. They're just different types of injury.
Hmm. You have all these different surfaces, and handicappers are trying to determine how these horses match up against each other in the Derby. And everybody seems to be throwing up their hands this year. Do you think the uncertainty is good for the business of horse racing, or is it bad for business?
Well, there's anecdotal reports. Some of the big players have cut back their betting because the synthetics, they feel like there's just not a consistency. They can't get a handle on it, so they're not betting as much. Jeff Harmon, who's the co-owner of Bob Blackjack, he told me he lives in California, went to all synthetics. He's cut his betting 75%. But there's also the economy. So which is it? It's probably, like a lot of things, it's a variety of factors.
All right, Jenny, who's your pick?
Well, I'm going with one of those synthetic track horses, Colonel John. I think that he's bred for the dirt, and who knows, maybe he'll actually improve on the dirt. And that would be scary because he's been a very impressive horse.
I totally agree. Jenny Reese from the Louisville Courier-Journal. Thanks for joining us.
Sure. Happy handicapping.
The Courier-Journal has a great database if you want to learn more about this year's contenders. It's called Data Track, and it's on the paper's website. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.